All right, everyone, I note that it's 1:08 and the gang's all here, so I'll ask the director to call the roll.
Thank you. Steve Bergeron?
Present.
Tony DiMaggio?
Present.
Andrew King, absent. Julia Richard, absent. Val Pearson?
Present.
Gabriel Verdier?
Present.
Laverne Toombs, absent. Heather Viziano?
Present.
Viziano?
Present.
That's five members, House to
Thank you. Next up on our agenda is a review of the minutes. Has everyone had a chance to review the minutes that were circulated? These are the minutes for the Architecture Committee December and January meetings and the VCC January meeting. Does anyone have any comments on the minutes? Are we ready for a motion?
I move to accept the minutes as submitted.
All right, do we have a second for that?
I'll second.
Thank you. All in favor?
Aye.
None opposed. The motion passes. Thank you. Next up is a chairperson's report. I do not have a report. However, I will just share this brief reminder of one simple rule that helps maintain order during the public comment periods in these meetings. I don't anticipate we're going to have a problem today, but perhaps I'll bring this up at future meetings too. In order to speak, you must be recognized by me, the chair. All public comments are properly addressed to the chair, that's me. And we could make eye contact, you could raise your hand or wave or just say, Mr. Chair. We do have some rules for public comment. There will be public comment cards that are submitted and I will read them in the order that I get them to call people up. This just ensures orderly, productive meetings and discussion during the public comment period. And now we'll have the director's report.
Yes, thank you. First, I'd like to introduce our new building inspector. We're delighted to have Laura Goddard join the team. She's been with us now about 2 months, close enough. She's doing a wonderful job getting up to speed, so welcome, welcome. Now I would like to give you guys an update on the Madam John's legacy situation. On March 13th, I attended the Louisiana State Museum Board meeting where they were to review the report and discuss the results and findings of their consultant. I'm just going to read off some bullet points from my notes from that meeting. As for the consultant Larry Wilson's report, Madam John's legacy has never been brought up to its full historic potential. The Louisiana State Museum needs to decide what is the story that needs to be told from this building. Fortunately, none of the work on the building to date has damaged the historic integrity of the building, which is good news. The original contract required this is the original contract that hired Mr. Wilson, that was set aside for the renovations of the building, required a historic preservation consultant. The architect at the time was that individual, but he passed away, and upon his death, there was not another historic preservation consultant hired. His son, who is also an architect, took over the job, and that was actually probably not the best idea, and that he doesn't have the same qualifications that his father did, so that was an error. The board architecture committee requested that Mr. Wilson be hired as that consultant, sees up and running already, and will be the most efficient. They have asked Mr. Wilson if he will take this job on, and he's not committed yet. Part of the report states that a historic structural report must be compiled. About 60% of the material required for a historic structural report is already in place, but it would still take about 6 months to compile. A historic structural engineer with specialization on historic timber frame construction should be engaged. Masonry wall of the street needs to be demolished. That's been a major point of contention. Although I don't think there's been a great deal of argument that the wall that exists today is not historic. It's something that was built, taken down, and rebuilt over time. The one that exists today is likely from the 1970s. So when this current wall is taken down, it will provide an opportunity to engage an archaeology study. And so that study will help to understand if there originally was a wall of that location or if it was open and appears as what is proposed now. The architecture committee is of the opinion that the building should be interpreted to 1788. And that is, I sent around a copy of Mr. Wilson's report to all commissioners today. So I recommend you take a look at this. There's more information in there about the various proposals for interpreting the building to either 1788 or for 1820 or to a combination of those different periods. So I highly recommend that you at least read this portion, is that is very contentious and it's going to have a very predominant effect on the finished result after all of it is completed. There's also conversation about potentially changing the name from Madame John's Legacy, since that is a misnomer. It's a result of the 19th century fiction story. It's not really actually relevant to the history of the building. It's just something from the romantic past. So the option, so motions were made by the board to find financial resources up to $50,000 to hire Mr. Wilson or another professional for the rest of the project, and to hire a historic structural engineer for $30,000, and $100,000 to compile this historic structural report. Those motions were approved by the board, but the funding will need to be located. Before anyone, do you have any questions about this?
I do have a question. To what extent was the 1970s renovation restoration documented?
I don't have an answer for that, and that's been one of the problems that's been pointed out, is there seems to be a history of substandard documentation of work that was done over time. Otherwise, we would have known that this building, this portion of the building, was from that period. So what a historic structures report would help to bring all of this kind of information into one document. It can be used for not only this renovation, but for scholarship for future renovations as well. So the program would kind of like synthesize that design.
Great.
Okay, with that, I want to move on to an update about the 5G installation in the French Quarter. Last week or the week before, I spent 2 days walking the entire French Quarter with a GIS map that shows the location of all permits and applications for permits for the installation of 5G. And this was brought out when noticing that there are several locations of multiple poles in close proximity to each other, something that we had worked very hard to avoid. With the field audit that I conducted, I was able to locate at least 6 or 7 poles that seemed to be installed with only street cut permits, without any permits for the actual installation of the poles, which is very problematic. Also found several locations where poles were installed in deviation of locations on their approved documentation for permitting. And also, there were several locations where poles were installed in locations in lieu of replacing historic lampposts. That was something that we worked hard on so that there would be no net gain on poles. So I compiled a report that incorporates this information along with several other locations of permitted poles that have yet to be installed, but are problematic in that they don't adhere to the guidelines. Some of these are in view sheds of incorporated buildings. Some of these are in close proximity to others. So I requested the Department of Safety and Permits and the Department of Public Works to not reissue those permits as they have expired for lack of activity. So we're hoping that that will reduce the number of these problematic calls in the district. And also, this has led us to develop a more rigorous review process. We have better GIS mapping. We have better understanding of our LAMA permitting software that will help us, when we're reviewing permits, to understand locations of where other applications are being reviewed or have been approved. So if you're noticing more poles in one area than you were anticipating, that's exactly what started this audit and what we're going to correct.
Great, thank you. Commissioners, do we have any questions for the director?
Although they are on the public right-of-way, the VCC, as you know, does have the authority to make non-binding recommendations for anything that within the district that could have a negative impact on the two ensemble. And this was agreed from the beginning would definitely fall into that category. So in the permitting software, the BCRA or the HDLC has the sort of first review checkbox. Although we don't approve or disapprove of a location, we have a box that says that it is recommended or not recommended. So we are able to then click the box, and then the permit goes on to the Department of Public Works for the permit.
So it's just a recommendation.
Yes.
They still have the ability to
change
their
They do. However, I believe that they take our recommendations very, very seriously in the BCRA, because we're really the only agency that is responding to the aesthetic impact. So we're working very rigorously together interdepartmentally as a team. So we've been very pleased with that.
Any other questions, commissioners? All right, thank you, Mr. Block, for those two reports. Very important work going on. Next up on our agenda, under new business, is 500-240 St. Peter. I note that we cannot hear this because we have a recusal. Is that accurate?
I'm sorry, would you mind real quick if I just said one thing before we carry on?
Yeah, sure.
I just wanted to let you guys know that we are going to be working closely, staff is going to be working closely with legal to come up with guidelines for commemorative plaques. Oh. We've been getting a lot of applications for these. They used to be funneled through a commission, the Orleans Parish Landmarks Commission, which is defunct now. So now we're trying to figure out how we can possibly do that internally, at least for the French Quarter. We're going to be working with legal on that. I'm just going to share a little bit of that with you.
Yes, I believe this came up in connection with someone had applied for a plaque, and the issue was what goes on the plaque. And that if the government doesn't have the right to tell people what to do, what to say on their property, but that would be a violation of the First Amendment. It would be a government choosing, forcing people to say one thing or the other. But what the that's to be distinguished with government speech, where the government allows the government to select the view that it wants to express, and so it's the government expressing it. So a plaque which would have been put on by this commission, someone could have said, hey, I've got a plaque on my property. This commission that would, I guess, would used to decide, okay, you want a plaque on your property, okay, yeah, it's historically significant, okay, and it would come up with what goes on the plaque. But there is the government saying what it wants to say. So I think that to solve this situation about putting plaques on properties in the French Quarter, it would have to be something that somebody would have to apply to. For example, I'm just throwing this as an idea, the BCC, and some committee to the BCC, and the BCC perhaps would say, yeah, okay, you know, that is a significant piece of property, historically significant piece of property, and in some manner come up with what to put on that plaque. But that plaque would be the BCC's plaque going on the property. It's not the property owner's plaque saying what the property owner wants to say on it. So that's roughly what would have to happen from a First Amendment point of view.
Great, thank you. Commissioners, do we have any questions on the commemorative plaque guidelines?
This might be difficult to answer, but is there a time frame that you're looking at for,
yeah.
For I guess, coming to a decision on either how to move forward or the final?
We are getting some pushback from the public and from council a little bit, so we do want to try and get this done. I would say in the next couple of months. It's, you know, being the 3-week hamster wheel that we're kind of on with public hearings, it's difficult, but we're going to figure it out. And I would say, I would hopefully before summer.
Is the pushback due to the delay in being able to?
Because technically, right now we have no guidelines. And so we sort of put a hold on things right now until we can figure this out and give people actual criteria. Just so that you know, it will be something similar to filing a landmarks application. Something similar to that would be the actual criteria that you can check off in order to get the plaque for your building.
Great, thank you. Any other questions? All right. Next up on our agenda, under new business, is 500 to 540 St. Peter. I note that we do not have enough commissioners here to hear this because we do have a recusal. The same is true for the next application, 518 St. Peter. So the first application we'll take is 422 Charters. Is there someone here to represent 422 Charters? I see we do. Staff, let's have the report.
422 Charters is a yellow-rated building. This is a proposal to install four skylights on the flat roof per application and materials received January 12, 2023. BCC design guidelines state that, quote, a skylight can dramatically alter the appearance of a roof. Therefore, an appropriate location for a new skylight is fairly limited. Occasionally, a skylight is approved for a shotgun or townhouse on a low slope where it can be visually minimized, or on a low slope or flat roof where it can be concealed behind a parapet. It should be installed in a manner that minimizes its visibility in all locations, minimizes changes to existing roof framing, generally with a long dimension running down the roof slope, minimizes the number of skylights such that it comprises a maximum amount of 3% of the roof slope, and is arranged in orderly fashion, runs parallel to and no more than 8 inches above the plane of the roof surface, has clear or tinted glazing for dark exterior appearance, and has the exterior framing painted or colored to match the roof material, does not have a domed, angled, or other raised feature. The applicant proposes to install 4 2-foot by 4-foot skylights on the yellow-rated flat roof. They are noted as having a black anodized frame with clear flat glazing and are not operable. The total roof area is 2,472 square feet, with 74 square feet of skylights allowed. The total proposed area of the skylights is 32 square feet. and notices that a regrouping application will be filed by others. When reviewed at the committee level, staff noted that rotating the skylights may fit better within the existing roof framing, and that some roof apron would likely be required so water can slip around the skylight. Both the committee and applicant agreed, and the committee coordinated a recommendation of conceptual approval to the commission with revisions to be submitted to staff for final review and approval. Staff notes that a letter from the condo association stating that all owners are in agreement regarding this work must also be submitted prior to permit.
Great, thank you. Thank you. Applicant, please state your name, address, and relationship to the property.
L.K. Armin.
Do you have a response to the staff report or presentation?
Yes, we agree with everything in the staff report. We have already rotated the skylights and increased it probably just running parallel to the charters. And I did go onto the roof, and so I have a detailed plan now, which I'm calling of what the slopes are. It's very low slope. There are roof drains. Now I have the exact locations of all the ACs and pins, except for which I make sure I'm not interfering with each other. And we'll receive the final comments.
Great. Great, thank you. Commissioners, do we have any questions for the applicant and staff? Okay. Do we have any public comment? See no public comment. Commissioners, any final discussion? Are you ready for a motion?
In the matter of 22 charters, I motion to approve the skylights with details to be worked out.
Great, thank you. Do we have a second for that?
I'll second that.
Great, all in favor? None opposed. The motion passes. Thank you.
Thank you.
Next up on the agenda, under a change of use hearing, is 730 St. Peter Street. I see we have an applicant, so let's have the staff report, please.
730 332 St. Peter is a blue-rated main building and service building. This is a proposal to demolish courtyard structures, modify millwork, install mechanical equipment, and modify roof to connect front and rear structures in conjunction with a change of use from vacant to restaurant standard and cultural facility. Current application and materials received November 30, 2022 and February 14, 2023, respectively. This renovation is being undertaken by the Preservation Hall Foundation to create a multi-building campus for Preservation Hall. They recently signed a 50-year lease on blue-rated 730 St. Peter with the intent of using this property to support the mission of the foundation. The BDSA and DCC Architecture Committee have approved openings at the property line, both inside the building and in the courtyard, which will be used to provide necessary egress and ADA compliance. Staff has met with the applicant, zoning, and Department of Safety and Permits to discuss the full scope of the project, was able to fully tour both 730 St. Peter and Preservation Hall, next door at 736 St. Peter, where work will be done in conjunction with the change of use and renovation of this property. The vast majority of work will be done at 730, and no change of use will take place at Preservation Hall itself. The first floor of 730 will serve as a standard restaurant and ticketing for the music venue next door, while the upper floors provide archive storage, classrooms for music lessons and workshops, offices, and artist and residence units for use by the Preservation Hall Foundation. Both restaurant standard and cultural facility are allowable uses for the overlay district. Zoning is currently exploring whether approval for commercial live entertainment will be necessary at 730, yet staff knows that this is extremely unlikely to affect the architecture in any way. The committee recommended that the commission board a positive recommendation for the change of use to the director's safety permits, but staff recommends the commission defer making a recommendation on the change of use until the live entertainment aspect of the proposal is resolved by zoning. Scope of work involves demolition of several small non-historic structures in the courtyard, removal of a previous pavement and mechanical equipment, replacement of anachronistic millwork with appropriate millwork matching existing, and the installation of new mechanical equipment in conjunction with the restaurant and archive space. A small connecting roof structure is proposed between the main building and service cell at the third floor, as this will provide necessary headroom for interior ADA and egress requirements. But the the additional roof is lower and discreet and raises an addition, not historic addition. The committee found this work conceptually approvable. Three HVAC units can be installed on this portion of the room, limited to the connecting roof structure between the main building and service cell addition, not the perlumerated roof itself. Additional mechanical equipment will be installed at the rear courtyard at grade and screen. Three units are proposed in the attic plenum above the rear egress stair. Fire shielded vents will be required in the Toulouse and World Side attic walls to ventilate this equipment. Staff notes that BPSA or PCA review may require safety required as a Toulouse side vent is on the property line, but overall finds this to be a creative and discreet way to handle the extensive HVAC equipment needed for the archive space, and vast and preferable to installing a platform on the roof. The only equipment on the blue rated roof will be equipment for the restaurant, and its location and size are consistent with other approved changes of use to restaurant. The committee found the mechanical proposal conceptually approvable. The miller from the service cell will largely be rehabbed or replaced as existing. On the first floor, where original millwork has been significantly removed, new doors and windows will be installed to match that above. One new door is proposed where a window currently exists on the first floor, while an unusually sized second floor window will also be converted to a door, but these are the only significant modifications. While some elements will require further development and can be discussed in further detail, both staff and the committee are excited by the overall development plan and find the proposal to be conceptually approvable overall, pending approval and or any required variances from other agencies. The committee also forwarded a positive recommendation to the commission for the additional roof structure, demolition of the courtyard structures, and alteration of millwork on the rear service zone. As noted above, staff recommends the commission defer making a recommendation on the chain of use until the live entertainment of the proposal is resolved by zoning. Staff notes that the ECC does not determine use and is only called upon to make recommendations to the director of safety improvements based on architectural or tout-ensemble related concerns. The ECC cannot approve any work deviation from the CCO unless waivers or variances are granted by all applicable agencies. In addition to the recommendations above, staff recommends the commission waive the standard 30-day layover period for demolition of the small courtyard structures, which are clearly not historic, as removal will allow for exploratory work and further development of the proposal.
Thank you. Applicant, please state your name, address, and relationship to the property.
My name is John Williams. My address is 824 Berlin Street in New Orleans, and I'm the project architect. We appreciate how closely and wonderfully the staff and the city have worked with this project. I think it's going to be a really big plus for the French Quarter and the city as a whole. It's a cultural marvel that we're bringing the types of things here in terms of the archives and being able to train young musicians in the French Quarter with masters. This is a project that everybody has been getting behind, and so we appreciate all the support. We also appreciate the waiving of the 30-day layover period so that we can begin demolishing the two courtyard structures that are intrusions into, one, the open space and this courtyard historically. Otherwise, I understand we're working very carefully with Nick Kendall and Ashley Becknell with the zoning department and also with the city planning commission on any changes that would be required, and we believe, and I believe the staff does too, that we'll reach a resolution. It's basically how we're wording it. I think we've had a meeting with them and they understand that we're not going to do anything that would require the zoning to change. They just want to get the wording right. We send something to them on Friday. We were hoping to get it back before we got to this meeting. So I'm sure by the next meeting we'll have that resolved. But if the commission could see through to moving forward the architectural piece of this and holding back the change of use recommendation until the next meeting, and then proceeding with waiving the 30-day layover period so we can clean these obstructions in the courtyard and have also a better feel for the space as a whole. We appreciate your support.
Thank you. Commissioners, do we have any questions for the staff, for the applicant?
have a question for the staff, and it's in regards to the recommendation for deferral on making a recommendation to the change of use until a life entertainment aspect of the proposal is resolved by zoning. And I guess my question is, could you give a little bit more insight into a deferral in this instance, as opposed to, say, approval pending the proviso that everything falls, like everything passes through zoning and is within the jurisdiction?
Sure. So, my understanding is that if live entertainment is sought but is not considered approval and does require some kind of layover or waiver or variance, that is actually considered to be part of that use. And because we are just now kind of finding out about this, we weren't able to give public notice for a change of use to live entertainment facility if that is what would be required. Zoning actually felt like, you know, that the use was still being tangled out and said that they, you know, understood that we decided not to put it on our agenda this month. We discussed it internally and decided that we did want to move forward at least with the architecture and get in front of you guys while we were working on finding out about the live entertainment. So it's really kind of an issue of making sure that it's properly noticed in case any members of the public want to jump in on whether or not they think live entertainment is appropriate at this location.
Thank you so much.
Mr. Rushing, I would also like to say that the architectural aspect of this is also contingent on their open space room. So keep that in mind when making your motion. We are recommending conceptual approval, but it is contingent on that.
Thank you so much. I really appreciate it, especially in regard to understanding that it indeed is partially motivated by the ability for the public to comment.
Okay, commissioners, any other questions? Go to public comment. Do we have any public comment? Seeing none. Any further discussion, commissioners? Are we ready for a motion? Well, and zoning is still trying to untangle what exactly the change of use is, so staff has recommended us to defer the change of use. What I think staff is asking us for today is conceptual approval of the architectural aspects of the proposal and a deferral, a waiver of the standard 30-day layover period for demolition for those courtyard structures.
It's the staff's position that the request for architectural modifications and the demolition of these small anachronistic structures don't really have a whole lot to do with the change of use. There is some discussion about open space requirement that may or may not need a waiver. However, due to the historic configuration of the building and the courtyard, if a waiver is required, the staff is fairly confident that a waiver will most likely be granted. But I do think, like when they said, it would be good to at least have a caveat in your motion that if you do approve conceptual approval, it is contingent on that waiver being granted. So if the waiver is not granted and the conceptual approval can be modified.
Commissioners, any other questions, discussion? Ready for a motion?
I have a motion. In the matter of 730 St. Peter, I'd like to move for conceptual approval, overall pending approval and or any required variances from other agencies, specifically a proviso that if a zoning waiver is required, that our conceptual approval is contingent on receipt of that. And I would like to defer, make a recommendation in the change of use until the live entertainment aspect of the proposal is resolved by zoning per the staff report recommendation. And finally, that we waive the standard 30-day layover period for demo of the small courtyard structures, which are clearly not historic.
Great, thank you. Do we have a second for that? All right, all in favor? None opposed. Motion passes.
Thank you very much.
Thank you. All right. Next up under appeals and violations is 625 Dauphine Street. I note that the staff has indicated this has been deferred by the applicant.
That is correct. However, we've also notified the applicant that this is the third deferral that they have requested, and this must move forward at the next hearing. Otherwise, it will be registered as a denial and forwarded to administrative adjudication.
Great, thank you. Commissioners, anything to say about that? All right. I suppose we do need a motion to defer this. We have a motion for deferral.
So moved.
All right, second for that?
Second.
All in favor? None opposed. Motion passes. We'll move on to 905 Royal Street, which I believe is also requesting a deferral by the applicant. Staff, do you have any comments on that one? Okay. Are these items that need to be looked at urgently?
This is for hardship, and the owner is not quite clear that she can be here.
Okay, commissioners, do we have a motion to defer?
Motion to defer.
Do we have a second for that?
Second.
All in favor?
Aye.
None opposed. We'll defer to the next meeting. Last on our agenda is ratification of architectural committee and staff action since the Wednesday, January 18th, 2023 VCC meeting. We have a motion to ratify. Everyone had a chance to look at them.
I'll make a motion to ratify meeting minutes. Okay.
All right. Committee and staff actions.
Committee and staff actions.
All right. Do we have a second for that?
Second.
All in favor?
Aye.
None opposed. Motion passes. We've reached the end of our agenda. The time is 1:46. Do we have a motion to adjourn? Have a second for that. All in favor?
Aye.
None opposed. We are adjourned. Thank you all.